right. I want to start with just one verse here tonight, but we're going to be all over the place in a little while, so if you keep your Bibles open. Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 14. 14, 14. Proverbs 14, 14. All right. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Father, thank you tonight for a chance to stand and preach again. Appreciate these folks coming out so faithfully. We are missing some of the brethren here tonight for various reasons. A lot of folks are sick, as well as other folks being out of town necessarily. And Lord, we just pray you'll be with everybody as they come and go. And again, the illnesses and the kids and all, pray you'd be with that. In the meantime, we're all here. Father, we hope that we all are in a condition to hear the Word of God tonight, and we pray that you'll bless as I try to preach. Pray you help me step out of the way, and pray that you might have your will done here. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I ran across Proverbs 14:14, of course, read it through a jillion times and all that, and somehow it struck me this differently this time. It says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." I think there's an interplay there of two spiritual issues that are really, really powerful things. One is bad, one is good. One of the things is very greatly destructive, catastrophic to the Christian life. The other is extremely profitable to the Christian life. One is something that easily becomes just open idolatry. A lot of folks serve that god. The other one elevates somebody and grants them victory. Now, I got looking at the passage. These two things in this passage can almost be mistaken for each other. I wonder if you've ever seen it. It says in Proverbs 14:14, the first half. Let me talk about the first half just for a couple minutes. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart becomes supremely self-interested. Right? Makes sense. I have some verses here for you, but says there that he is filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart becomes full of himself. He is self-centered, self-obsessed, self-possessed. He is just self, 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 right? There are some verses that go along with this pretty much. For instance, I find in Proverbs 1, wisdom talking, the voice of God, "They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way," right? Now remember, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, it says. Proverbs 18 says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just." Proverbs 12 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." The fool becomes self-obsessed with things. Everything he thinks, he thinks is right. All the judgments that he makes, he thinks are right. He must be tested from outside. But it says there that the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 16 says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes." Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone not to somebody else's way, to his own way." Isaiah 56 says, "Yea, they, the false prophets, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter." Isaiah 66. "Yea, they have chosen not somebody else's way. They have chosen their own ways. Their soul delighteth in their abominations. Ezekiel 36, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their land, they defiled it by their own way. By their doings, their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Acts 14 says, God, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Now remember the text. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. He just grows more and more occupied and preoccupied with his own ways. They shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, right? I found a list of things when I looked at own. These folks are drunken, basically, with their own pleasures, their own doings, their own hearts, their own craftiness, their own counsels, their own desires. This is all from the Word of God. Their own lusts, their own inventions, their own devices, their own glory. And finally, to wrap it up, one of those verses, which I don't have before me, so I'm not going to try to quote that to you. Bottom line is that first half of that verse is a very spiritually catastrophic thing that you see literally sweeping our land and sweeping Christianity even. It says there that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Okay? It is ungodly to be filled with your own ways. It is addictive. Right? It is one of those things where folks grow to not be able to think of anything but themselves. Everything else is subjugated to self. It is self-love. It is idolatry. It's ungodly. Right? So, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. It's a bad, bad thing. Now, that said, that established, at some level and in some measure, every man, woman, and child has to have some self-interest somehow, some way, right? I mean, look, you had to be interested in not dying and going to hell to get saved and born again, right? That's self-interest, but that's justified. Am I right? I mean, think about the fact that you have to be self-interested enough about your own, your own welfare to desire to grow spiritually after you're saved. Okay? How about bearing fruit? How about being vigilant? Only you can protect yourself from spiritual influences and falsehood and lies by being vigilant about what you believe and what you're taught. Right? How about taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're supposed to do that. You can be obsessive about it, but you're supposed to do that. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly? So, yes, you can be supremely self-obsessed and selfish. And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of that going around. But that's not all. I mean, there's one other thing I'd like to say here. And at the end of verse 14, the last half of the verse, if the first half of the verse represents an awful, awful lot of what's gone bad around us, the self-esteem movement where folks just cannot think of anything but themselves, yet still, as sinful as that is, at the same time, the second half of the verse, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Right? Now, that tells me a couple of things. First of all, satisfied from himself, it's the Lord that satisfies me. Am I right? I read in, for instance, Psalm 107, when I get it out here, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works for the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul. It's God that satisfies me, right? And yet, nevertheless, that verse says, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, there has to be a line somewhere between self-obsession and essentially self-worship, and then on the other side of it, being satisfied from self. Because a good man is satisfied from himself, right? There's got to be some sort of a place where this godless idol, self, rubs up against a godly fruitfulness where I have to be self-possessed enough to take care of things that are necessary about self, and a good man is satisfied from himself. So I want to talk about that for a little while. Now look, James Dobson didn't strike the balance on this thing, right? When it comes to the New Evangelicals, the self-esteem movement, Joel Osteen, those guys are preaching ungodliness. They're essentially preaching that you should worship yourself. At least that's what it's leading to, okay? So, obviously you know that's not the case. Look, the Lord is not my foot servant. My happiness is not the center of His universe, and as a matter of fact, it's not the center of yours. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't even be the center of mine, right? Whether I'm happy or not, I still have things to do whether I'm happy today and feel wonderful about myself or not, right? The Lord did not promise me or you or anybody else that you know daily fuzzy-wuzzies and giggles, okay? On the other hand, at the end of chapter 14, verse 14, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself. That is, what I'm preaching here tonight is that you cannot be self-obsessed with your own happiness, your own problems, your own issues. On the other hand, if you're going to be satisfied in the Lord, you're not always going to be able to count on stuff from outside. You're not going to always be able to count on a Christian showing up and encouraging you at just the right moment. You're going to have to find a reason to be satisfied from yourself. And in so doing, if you follow this verse, you're going to be a good man for it. Yes, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. All he can think about is himself. He's primarily concerned about himself. He thinks about himself more than anything else. He is full of himself. And that's wrong. And that's ungodly. And that's idolatry. At the same time, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I mean, when things aren't going right and I don't have a lot of encouragement and I am alone somewhere having to deal with things spiritual and having to fight a battle, I have to find a place where I can be satisfied from myself without necessarily somebody giving me outside input. Right? Are demanding that the Lord show up and serve me as a hand servant or a foot servant. I have to be able to be satisfied from myself. Okay, what does that even mean? Well, I have some ideas. I had noticed some verses through the years and such, and I put a couple other things together. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. First thing I'd like to point out to you in verse 14 is that it says at the beginning of the verse, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Far as I can see, this is where the rubber meets the road on hypocrisy. Notice it does not say that the backslider shall be filled with his own ways. It says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. I have known folks that do right outwardly. I have known folks that come to church and are faithful in church and line up on the outward things, and that's all good and that's all fine. And yet, you learn later along the road as things develop and as they grow older and such, that deep down inside they are miserable, they are self-occupied, they're unfulfilled, they are impossible to keep pleased, they're discontented, they increasingly, as time goes by, are more and more easily offended, They are difficult to get along with. They are increasingly distant. And they are resentful in the end, many times, of the church, of church people, things that go on in church, church people's problems, church problems, and just in general, righteous issues. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want the last half of the verse, the first half of the verse is ungodly, okay? The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Those things are comparatives. They're set the opposite of each other. If you want to be satisfied from yourself in a way that's right and good in the Word of God, then you need to not have a backsliding heart. You can do right on the outside and wind up bitter about having to do right on the outside, because for all these years, you haven't wanted to do right on the outside, because inside, you've had a backsliding heart. And there's no better way to get bitter about things and about Christians' problems, and about the things that you've seen and the things that you've experienced than that very thing. The prodigal son's brother stayed at home, stayed in the right field, in the right house, and by the time his father got out to talk to him when the prodigal son came home, it was very difficult to tell the difference between his heart and his younger brother's heart as he left to go to the foreign field, to the foreign country. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be satisfied from yourself, the first thing that's obvious is that you should not be a backslider in heart. What does that mean? It means not just being outwardly righteous. It means not just lining up on the outside so that everybody's satisfied that you look proper. I'm not saying that you shouldn't look proper on the outside, but I am saying if you don't want to wind up resentful and broken somewhere and basically out of the race, you need to make sure not be a backslider in heart, because a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Okay, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. He gets consumed with self. Have you ever known someone that as they got older, you ever known anybody that went through a middle-age crisis? Want to know what I think? And you're looking at a guy that is in middle age. And I've seen some folks go through the midlife crises. You know all I think it is? I think it's all selfishness. I think it's all about becoming completely obsessed with your own self and your own age and your weight and your hair and your fat content, and whether you're still beautiful or handsome or lean and mean or not, that sort of thing. It becomes a self-obsessive thing. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you need to not be a backslider in heart. You need to do right for the right reasons from the heart. You need to do right on the outside, but you need to do right from the heart as well. Because if you don't, look, you're going to wind up miserable. You're going to wind up bitter, and you're going to wind up selfish. look, folks, you say, well, you know, what do I get out of doing right? Did you know that something finally broke through to me a few years back, and I finally figured it out, that it's not about the rewards that I'm going to get somewhere. Did you know that righteousness, integrity, prudence, discretion, those are rewards? Those are rewards in themselves. You doing right and being right are rewards in themselves. If you're right with God, believe the truth, have light, and when you wake up in the morning, you go personally to prayer, whether anybody pushes you or not, and you read your Bible and try to get something from God, whether anybody pushes you or not, given a chance to walk across the path of a sinner, you'll sit down and talk to a sinner if you possibly can. Got news for you, folks. That is a rewarding life in itself, without anybody giving you a parade and saying, "Hey, look at Joe Blow. Look how good he's doing. Woo, woo." And you think you're getting a parade in heaven because you're doing so good. Hey, That kind of life is a reward in itself. It says there that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. If you don't read it carefully, it's almost like the two things are the same. It's like the good man is all about self too. No, he's just satisfied from himself. He doesn't always need God showing up to do a miracle for him to keep him satisfied and keep him motivated and keep him moving forward. He doesn't need it. He's satisfied from himself. He has something in himself that keeps him satisfied whether the Lord gives him outside input or not today. Whether a Christian shows up and encourages him today or not. Whether he gets any money in the mail today or not. He's got something where he can be satisfied from himself. I need that. And as the days get darker, I got news for you. You're going to need that too. Right? There's something else I wanted to point out to you. Look in Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. I'm not going to be very long tonight. Boy, have you heard that before. Proverbs 19. And I got looking at the sinner's own ways and his preoccupation with self and his self-interest. And I was really curious, the more I went into it, how it is that could be so ungodly, so idolatrous, and so devastating spiritually. And yet at the same time, somewhere there must be a seam where something good comes of the part where a good man shall be satisfied from himself. It still has to come from self. Okay? Notice Proverbs 19, verse 23. It says there that the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath the fear of the Lord, shall abide satisfied. So whether he has any money or not, whether his girlfriend wrote him a Dear John letter today or not, he will still abide satisfied. This guy is not a backslider in heart. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The fountain of his satisfaction is God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has the Lord Jesus Christ within him, and he's got his garden planted in such a way that he shall be satisfied from himself. I need that. You guys don't always call me when I'm discouraged. You don't always know when I am. I don't have it on a schedule. So, I got to figure out a way to be satisfied from myself when, to me, the Sunday or the Wednesday goes unsatisfactorily. I can't just call up Dave Darling and say, "Hey, Dave, do you think the service Wednesday was unsatisfactory? Because I feel really bad about it." Well, you know, fishing for a compliment is really not the way to be satisfied. I need to be able to be satisfied from myself. Okay? So, one, don't be a backslider in heart. Right? Righteousness for righteousness' sake. Integrity for integrity's sake. But secondly, the fear of the Lord. It says there in verse 23, "He that hath it shall abide satisfied." Now, I talked about the fear of the Lord last week. It's part of the reason this isn't going to be any longer, because I'm going to hit some of the same verses again, because we talked about the fear of the Lord in another context. But, you know, the fear of the Lord has some strange bedfellows in the ears of modern Christianity, because modern Christianity tries to do away with the fear of God and make it something softer. I noticed in the Word of God, for instance, that in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs 14:26. I read where the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, 14:27. Here in this passage, verse 23, I find where he that has the fear of the Lord shall abide satisfied. The psalmist said, "I am devoted to thy fear." devoted to thy fear. All right, well, how is it that the fear of the Lord helps me abide satisfied? Why? Why, if I fear, truly fear God, do I abide satisfied in somebody that doesn't? Well, for one, it gets back to that backsliding heart, for one, because if I truly fear God, I know that God sees my heart as well as my actions, and I want to do all that I can to keep my heart right before Him, and the fear of the Lord just may keep me from having a backsliding heart, which is going to lead me to where? To becoming a selfish imp. A selfish, self-obsessed, self-thinking, filled with myself, modern Christian. I don't need that. Now, the second thing I want you to notice here, look at Isaiah 33. We're still talking about the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 33, real quick. Isaiah chapter 33, go down to verse. We can start, I suppose, in verse 3 just for context. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, and the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon. The Lord, verse 5, is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Says there, now the psalmist says, the fear, I am devoted to thy fear. Here, the fear of the Lord is, I take it to be my, is my treasure. Now, I got thinking about the fear of the Lord being treasure. Then I got thinking about treasure. Look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go down to verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure that we have in earthen vessels is Jesus Christ in our hearts, right? But it's also to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I have Jesus Christ as a treasure in my heart. The knowledge of Jesus Christ as a treasure in my heart. Where does knowledge begin? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right? It's kind of cool. Look, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A good man is going to need some support somewhere along the way, but he shouldn't have to have it every day. The Lord shouldn't have to show up and give him a miracle every day. A Christian shouldn't have to call every day just to keep the guy jacked up so he keeps moving. A man should be able to be satisfied from himself. He'll be satisfied from himself if he's not of a backsliding heart. He'll be satisfied from himself if he fears, really fears God. Because that fear is a treasure. That fear will keep him straight. Right? Look in Proverbs 12. I have something else for you. Proverbs 12. And I was thinking about this matter of a good man being satisfied from himself. It comes from him. God is responsible. It's the Lord's fruit. It's Jesus Christ. He gets the credit and the glory for it. But still, the man has it in himself, and he abides satisfied from himself. He doesn't always have to have somebody putting it in his ear from out there. Okay? Look in Proverbs chapter 12, and notice verse 11. He that tilleth No, I'm sorry, verse 14. That's something for a little bit later. 12:14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Look in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Again, by the fruit of his mouth. Now look at one more. Chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And go down to verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. But a man hath joy not because somebody called me or answered a question that I had, but a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. What I say gives me joy. Right? Again, Proverbs 14 with this, to make sure that we're on track. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Did you know that one of the prime parts of your calling is to be a witness? That makes sense. One of the prime parts of your calling is to be a witness for Jesus Christ, a witness for God. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Is that right? Okay, now it's not just being a witness just to win souls. It's not just being a soul winner. It's being a witness. It's not just, by the way, being a witness, in my view, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's being a witness for the whole counsel of God, the truth, right? One of your primary callings in this life, your primary commission, is to be a witness, okay? Not just a witness as a soul winner, not just a witness of the death, burial, and resurrection, although that's included, but also of the whole counsel of God. It's just true. Now look, you talking about Jesus Christ, you talking, being a witness about the Bible, is a sustaining, satisfying force in your life. Most of you would be able to testify that after you got back from street preaching, you had a joy having gone that you didn't have when you went. Most of you would be able to testify that when you go door knocking, as hard as it is to get out in the morning and start knocking that first door, because you just don't feel like rousing somebody out of bed on a Saturday. And I think most folks have always said, you come back from visitation with more joy and more fortified in your spirit than when you left the church to go. Well, if that's the case, then something happened there. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. It is really satisfying when you have the right answer and the guy's asking, the guy gets under conviction, and you really feel like you got something done. Nevertheless, it's still satisfying to know that you sowed the Word of God that is not going to return void, even if they didn't like it, even if it made them mad. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Right? Now, there's something included with that. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. And this is not joy as such, but it's something pretty akin to it. Philippians chapter 4. You know the verse, Philippians chapter 4. And notice verse 6. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. A man shall be satisfied from himself, while the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Okay? It's selfishness, it's idolatry, and it's ungodliness versus you having a wellspring of something that you've nurtured spiritually. And part of it is just living righteously. Part of it is not being of a backsliding heart. Part of it is having the fear of God in your heart. And part of it is the answer of your mouth. For instance, here's this. Verse 6. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look, folks, that's somebody praying. He's talking. He's in supplication. He's praying, thanksgiving, his requests, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? Okay. A good man is satisfied from himself. The good man's gone in and prayed. The good man's made his requests. The good man has laid it down at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, let it go and walked away. And if it needs to be handled, the Lord Jesus Christ will handle it. It's not just about witnessing. It's not just about testifying and preaching of the Bible. It's also about praying. It's also about having a peace of God that passeth understanding. That good man is satisfied from himself. Who could testify that you've had times where you were so burdened and so heavy, yet you went to prayer and laid it down and came out stronger than you were when you went in? Okay, what is that? That's a man laying it at Jesus Christ's feet. God gets the glory. God strengthened me. Jesus Christ gave me grace to go through it. But nevertheless, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways, while a good man is satisfied from himself. It comes from here. God did it. Christ is responsible. But I had it in me. Okay? I wanted to do right. I feared God. I answered with my mouth. Right? One more thing I want you to see here. Go to Proverbs 12 again. Proverbs 12. Told you I'd be short, and I will be. Proverbs 12, for all the other times that I broke my promise. But Proverbs 12. And one other thing with this satisfaction, I'm not going to call it self-satisfaction. It's satisfaction that comes from self. Proverbs 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Now, you can look at that a couple of different ways. Maybe the guy, when you look at it, he puts in a hard day's labor, and when he comes home, he's hungry enough that he doesn't need filet mignon, just bread's enough. He's hungry enough to swallow the whole loaf. And so it says there that he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread because he labored, right? This is about labor, but there's something else to it. Look in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Just a couple more places to turn to. Isaiah 58. Isaiah. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee. I'm aware I picked it up in the middle of a sentence. Just hang on. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Well, that sounds pretty good in a dry day in perilous times. Well, why is the guy... And I know God satisfied his soul. Why is he so satisfied? Go back to verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. There's that crying. There's that something coming from something you said with your mouth. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. Well, verse 11, the Lord satisfies the guy's soul because in verse 10, he drew out his soul to the hungry and labored to satisfy the afflicted soul. Okay? He tried to minister to somebody else. Got one more passage for you. Galatians chapter 6. This is about labor. If you want to know how a good man can be satisfied from himself, it revolves around him not having a backsliding heart. And not just doing right on the outside, but doing right gladly on the inside and getting joy from it. It has to do with genuinely, truly fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is your treasure, because the fear of the Lord keeps you straight inside. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And part of that treasure is knowing Jesus Christ in your body, having the knowledge of God inside you where the light shines. Part of it is having good by the answer of your mouth. Part of that's prayer. Part of it's testifying. But then there's also labor. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And notice one or two telling verses here. Galatians chapter 6. And let's begin with verse 1 for a sec. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2, and this is written to a bunch of people in church. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Every man, he's saying every man should be working. Every man should, in verse 2, be bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. It's about you laboring for the Lord, and it's not just labor. It's you ministering to somebody else and the Lord granting you satisfaction from within self. You have rejoicing in yourself alone and not in another. It's not that you're just rejoicing because pastor had a good day and preached a really good sermon today. But you ministered as well, and you have rejoicing in yourself alone. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. Right? The Bible says this. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give His life a ransom for many. Guys, I'm tired of having folks in church for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They turn middle age, and then they turn mean and cantankerous and hard to get along with. And one of the reasons that some of that kind of stuff happens is because people now become preoccupied with being ministered unto. Sometimes you have folks that start church that way. They think that, and I believe the church should minister to somebody, but there comes a point where I can only minister to you so much. I can only give you so much. And then you have to do something. Did you ever notice that it seems like folks that get the most dissatisfied in church are the ones that aren't doing anything? They're not ministering to anybody. They've come in, plopped down, built their little wall around. So now everybody has to come in, crawl over the top of the wall and holler down at them, "Hey, how you doing today?" "Oh, fine." But you got the wall up. They keep having to climb the wall. And then one day the guy wonders, you know, why didn't somebody come try to minister to me? Well, you got a 3-foot thick wall, 7 feet high. They have to get a ladder and keep hollering down the well at you. You don't want to be ministered unto. But you come and sit, you close yourself in, and you don't do anything for anybody else. Did you ever notice, a lot of times it seems like folks that are the happiest and the easiest to get along with in church are folks that are doing stuff all the time for somebody else. Did you just ever notice that? Did you ever notice, again, this whole midlife crisis thing? Both men and women go through it sometimes. And sometimes folks go flaky with it. And I know there's hormones and everything else that goes with it. But did you ever notice that there comes a point where somebody starts distancing themselves and they get hard to deal with and they're no longer happy and they want to bark at you instead of sit down and talk and that sort of thing? Did you ever notice that sometimes folks just don't want to be ministered to. And did you notice that a lot of times those folks are not doing anything? They've forsaken the brethren. They've forsaken fellowship. They built a little wall. They want to be left alone. They want to be isolated. They have distanced themselves. How do you minister to somebody that way? The chances are you probably don't. You probably don't. Somebody shows up to church and drops a visitor's card. I start trying to call them. I'll write them a letter. I'll email them, call them. But sometimes they don't want to be bothered. Well, I'm not going to chase them for 6 months. I mean, I've told you about this fellow up the road here that I was trying to witness to. And literally for 2 years, chased him around. He wound up in the hospital with kidney problems. And I still can't get him to answer the phone. I can't catch him home. He will not talk to me. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that part of this thing about a good man being satisfied from himself, that's a laborer. And part of the reason a laborer is easier to get along with is because, you know, he is satisfied with bread. He doesn't need prime rib. He's hungry enough to eat the bread and enjoy the bread. And the other thing is he's laboring and investing in somebody else. And it says there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. He doesn't need anybody from outside saying, hey, boy, you did good. Sure, I'm glad you went and talked to somebody because you really did good with that. Yay! Have a big parade. Throw confetti at the guy. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He knows he ministered to the guy. He did it of his own initiative. Nobody had to snap the whip. Nobody had to shove him, push him. Yeah, go talk to him, go talk to him, go talk to him. He labored for himself, and the rejoicing is for himself alone, whether God works a miracle in his life today or not. Man, I'm thinking about Jeremy going off to Norway. Talk about a missionary having to have this down. A missionary has to have this down. Who's a missionary going to go find to jack him up every week? Right? I mean, you have to be self-motivated on the field. You have to be self-motivated as a pastor to get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, a good man is satisfied from himself. A backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. He is completely selfish. It's all about him. But the good man is satisfied from himself because he's nurtured a guard. He is a fountain inside of what God's done for him. He has strength to stand alone without somebody pushing him all the time, without somebody encouraging him all the time. We all need more of that. We do. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this. I'm not sure I did a very good job. I'm not sure that I got a handle on all of it. But we'll be happy to revisit it later if there's more to be found. I pray, Father, you'll bless. Encourage folks, Lord, to not always sit in their own selfish little corner and wait for somebody else to come get them, somebody come move them, somebody come retrieve them, encourage them, lift them up, jack them up. Well, Father, we need to be self-motivated that way. And we need to nurture some things that are deep. They're simple things. We all know about the fear of the Lord. We all know about doing right. We all know about having a clean, pure mouth and having good fruit that comes from our mouth like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. But Father, these things are very real parts of a fruitful Christian life. They strengthen us. They motivate us, Father. They keep us going. I pray, Father, you'd help us develop these things. May you give somebody some light tonight that needs some light, needs some encouragement. Maybe what they need is to be able to be satisfied from themselves more than from somebody else. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a couple seconds. Lord, dealt with you. Obviously, you know you're free to come. Hope you will. Father, we come to you tonight on the subject of satisfaction as opposed to self-interest. And Lord, there is a huge span between, and yet at the same time, I suppose this verse we talked about tonight kind of closes up the gap so that there's not that much difference between, at least not this much distance between. But there is a huge gap in fruit of the two things, Lord. We live in a very self-interested, self-possessed day. We're all tempted by it. We all have an inclination that way. Father, I pray you'd help us to diligently guard ourselves against that. We can be satisfied from self as a fruitful fountain and a fruitful vine in the Lord. But Lord, we are not to be self-obsessed. I pray you'd help us to battle that in a very real way. Give us victories, Lord. Give us insight in these things. Maybe you can use the sermon tonight to help. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good night, everybody.